Dean Richards Entertainment Report, sponsored by Walter E. Smith Furniture and Design. He's back to brighten up our day. Hi,
yes,
Dean.
Mr. Sunshine returns.
Glad to have you here.
Wish I had some sunshine this morning.
Well, you've got rock and roll feud news. We always enjoy those stories.
I love a good rock and roll feud, and this one is so catty. It's really kind of fantastic, and it has to do with a Chicagoan, Eddie Vedder of Pearl Jam fame, is involved in this. I guess he did an interview with the New York Times where he was talking about when he was first starting, you know, back in the 1980s, he was working at clubs, as he put it, working in clubs with metal bands that he despised. And he specifically mentions the group Motley Crue as one of the bands that he despises. Despises the song Girls, Girls, Girls. Despises the group.
What brought this on?
He just, you know, was talking about that he wound up, you know, doing jobs, I guess like we all did when we were young. We all did jobs, you know, that we didn't especially want to do. You know, and I worked at a grocery store when I was young, bagging potatoes, but you've never seen me coming out and lashing out at the potato industry.
Not yet, anyway.
As a result of that. Maybe in my memoir someday I might, but, you know, we've all had jobs like that. But he specifically, he called out Motley Crue on this, and the way that they look and what they represent. And, I mean, he just completely trashed them. Nikki Sixx, who is one of the founders of Motley Crue, heard about this, read it, and it came back and said, it made me laugh today reading how much the singer in Pearl Jam, didn't even mention him by name, the singer in Pearl Jam hated Motley Crue. And then he added, now considering that they are one of the most boring bands in history, it's kind of a compliment, isn't it?
Ouch.
So the opening volleys have been served in this. Eddie Vedder, it's up to you. Ball's in your court now, my friend.
All right, stand by for that. Let's talk about the movies. And did people go out this past weekend?
Well, some people did. And as we've been telling you, the movies that do best in the box office are the ones that are geared toward younger skewing audiences. And maybe there has not been a better illustration of this than the movie Jackass Forever becoming the new number one movie in America for the weekend. It took in $23 million over the weekend. It beat out the Halle Berry, Patrick Wilson movie, the sci-fi movie called Moonfall. And it beat out Spider-Man. It beat out everything.
Wow.
It is, people paying good money to go in and to see the gang from the Jackass TV series that now have, I don't know, like four or five movies in their franchise now, go out and do cruel and unusual torture to each other. Apparently that's posing for entertainment these days. Not everyone is so happy about this, though. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA, says that they are considering criminal investigation. They want the Los Angeles authorities to investigate the movie because they claim that the film has violated California's animal cruelty laws.
Well, don't they have a disclaimer on all movies? No animals were harmed. Did they have one in this movie? I wonder.
Yeah, I didn't notice. Didn't stay long enough for the credits. I got out as soon as I could on this. I didn't stick around. But, from what I could gather, I don't know if animals were harmed in this or not. I do know that people were bitten by spiders on their tongue and other sensitive parts of the body, shall we say. What about cruelty to humans in this?
Yeah. Isn't Johnny Knoxville getting a little old for this?
He's a little long in the tooth for being shot out of cannons. And I don't know what the proper age is, really, to stop being shot out of a cannon. But these guys still seem to enjoy it. And heaven knows they're making plenty of money doing it. So, you know what? There's something for everyone. As Roy Leonard used to say, that's why Baskin Robbins makes 31 flavors.
Sadly, we have another big loss for the Blues to talk about, Dean.
Yeah, this is a sad note. A real legend in blues in Chicago. The guitarist, singer, writer known as Syl Johnson has died. He had lots of hits on his own back in the 1960s and 70s. There's a fantastic clip that's on YouTube of him on Soul Train. Just the outfits, the music, everything. Just fantastic to rewatch. But his songs were so influential that they wound up being among the most sampled that are used in hip-hop music. People like Jay-Z and Kanye West and the Wu-Tang Clan and Public Enemy, some of the biggest names in hip-hop, have all taken music from Syl Johnson, used them in their songs. Syl Johnson once filed a copyright infringement suit against Michael Jackson, claiming that he had used his music without permission. But if you get some time today and you want to hear some just fantastic Chicago blues, Syl Johnson, is his name, is 85 years old.
Yeah, his older brother, Jimmy, died...
about a month ago, I think.
At his home in Harvey, Illinois.
Yeah, exactly.
We didn't discuss this on the show, but we should have. Richard Christensen passed away, I think, while you were away, Dean. And, boy, he was a force in the arts around here for a long time, wasn't he?
Yeah, legendary Chicago theater critic with the Chicago Tribune for years and years. Did lots of things at the Tribune, but will be best remembered as their chief theater critic through the years. And guys like me looked up to people like Richard Christensen and Roger Ebert and Gene Siskel and the guys that really kind of taught all the rest of us how to do critical analysis of theater and movies with their passion and love for it all. And he put lots of the storefront theaters in Chicago and the Chicago theater scene itself on the map, globally on the map, for covering them and not just covering the big shows downtown. So he passed away last week, and just wanted to mention it and send our respect for the legacy that he left, teaching us all how to do our jobs through example.
Sweet man. And talk about this recent health scare with Chelsea Handler.
Yeah, we're not exactly 100% sure what happened, really. She was hospitalized over the weekend. She was scheduled to do some shows in Oregon over the weekend and had to cancel the shows. All she's saying is that it was an undisclosed health scare. She did say in her Twitter post that it was not COVID, that she is not pregnant, but she is doing better. She said she's just going to relax for a few weeks with her real-life boyfriend, comedian Joe Coy. They've been posting things like crazy on social media over the last couple of months. The Oregon shows have been postponed now until March. That's when she says that she'll be back up and running on her tour. So we're hoping that she's okay.
And now let's get to this new reality series. And it's going to be shot in Chicago, right?
Yeah, already done. It's a reality show that is hosted by Nick Lachey, who was one of the former members of the boy band 98 Degrees. He and his wife Vanessa are the hosts of this show, in which they take contestants. It's a dating show, basically, but the contestants are allowed to talk to each other, but they're not allowed to see each other. They're all kept in windowless rooms where they can, talk to and kind of interview and get to know each other, but without the benefit of, seeing what they look like, if they're, physically attracted to one another or not. It's kind of an interesting concept. The first season of the show was shot in Atlanta, but season two, which will premiere this coming Friday on Netflix, was shot here in Chicago. So when we talked with Nick, we asked him, if Chicago had, any influence on the vibe of season two.
Well, I mean, Vanessa and I aren't involved in the casting process, you know, so I'm not sure from a production standpoint what appealed, you know, to Netflix and to Kinetic about Chicago. But growing up just down the road in Cincinnati, I already know what a great city Chicago is. You know, that was if we wanted a weekend in the big city, Chicago is where we went. So I've grown up loving Chicago. And I think the people in Chicago are, you know, I think they're just real. You know, I think people in Chicago are, they're raw and they're real. And that's what made them the perfect cast for this season, the willingness to be open and honest and real. Cast in Chicago was amazing. I can say that 100% across the board. And I think everyone's in for a real treat on season two.
I always wonder when they say that Chicagoans are real, is that a compliment?
I'm not
100% sure.
Sure.
They mean that we're real. What does that mean exactly, Mr. Cincinnati?
I think that means that we will tell
it like it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Don't you think? You spend a lot of time out there in Hollywood. You know what the difference
is.
Well,
that's very true. There is not very much real that's going on out there. I sure have missed that the last 2 years.
Well, it'll be back soon. Brace yourself.
I suppose so.
Good to have you back. Thank you, Dean.
All right. See you tomorrow.